conference. The meeting will be recorded, and the recording will be posted on Chief's website within 7 days of the meeting. I am Mark Varholak, the chair. I'll do a quick roll call of the board members. I see Michael Angelini. I think I heard Lawrence Davis call in. Are you here?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Daryl?
Present.
Oh, there you are. Gotcha. Now I can see you. And Peter, you are obviously here.
I'm here.
And then how about the chief of staff? Why don't you just go through and identify yourselves, please?
Jeanette Weldon is here.
Nisa Deliver is here.
Okay, Jeanette, Cynthia, and who else we got here? Deb is here. Kara Stewart, Deb Galley.
We're Michael here. Carly Levin is here.
Okay. And then how about anybody else on the call that can identify themselves, please?
Hi, this is Joanne. I'm in. Hi, Kristen Brown from Cohn-Resnick.
Melissa Furchi from Cohn-Resnick.
Labonte from Cohn-Resnick.
I think that's everybody that I can see. Anybody else that hasn't identified themselves? Okay, so in accordance with Governor Lamont's executive order regarding public meetings, held via teleconference, board committee members, chief of consultants, and other individuals must state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. So thank you, everybody, for going through that. We'll get right into business here. I think our first agenda item is to approve the audit and finance committee minutes from our special meeting on July 22nd, 2020.
So moved.
Thank you, Daryl. We have a motion and I get a second.
Mike Angelini, this is second.
Thank you, Michael. Any discussion, changes, comments, corrections? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, fantastic. That's done. And let's move into the topic of the day, our financial statement update from Cohn-Resnick. Cynthia, I don't know how you want to handle this, if there's yes. anything you want to say, or if...
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce the team from Cohn that's on the call with us today. Melissa Ferrucci, she is the new partner for our engagement with Cohn. We also have Kristen Brown and Josh Labonte. I'm going to pronounce that incorrectly. I'm sorry, Josh. And so we'll first have Joanne provide a little bit of update, and then Cohn will actually go into their presentation as well. So Joanne, if you want to take the floor, and then from there we'll go into the presentation by Cohn.
Joanne, you're muted.
Yep, Joanne's muted.
I couldn't find her on my screen. Finally found her.
Here I am. Sorry. Again, for the record, Joanne Magwitz from Controller at Chiva. So I'm going to provide a brief summary of the financial statements. Chiva CDC will present its financials at its annual meeting a little bit later this afternoon, and CHESLA and CSLF will be presented separately tomorrow. So year over year, Chiva had a decrease in operating revenue and a slight increase in operating expenses. If you wanted to follow along, I don't know if you all have it. It's printed on page 56, but it's on 62 of the PDF file. The operating revenues were $5.6 million as compared to $7.5 in the prior year, and they were budgeted at $7.9 million. 96% of the revenues are generated from admin fees that are assessed to the institution. $1.8 million of those chief admin fees were waived as part of the COVID mitigation initiatives, which the board had approved. In fiscal 20, 19 bond offerings were closed, which totaled approximately $1.1 billion compared to $418 in the previous year. 62% of the new issuance were refinancing. Operating expense.
Joanne, excuse me, this is Peter Lisi. What was the number again that we have waived fees regarding the COVID, the board action?
So we waived $1,844,000.
Basically, $1.8 was waived. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
And, yep. For operating expenses, year over year, they increased minimally by $93,000 from 3.82 to 3.88. And they were $304,000 under budget. So total operating loss decreased to $1.9 million in 2020 compared to $4 million in the prior year, which was a decrease of 1.9. Last year it was, I'm just saying that wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, moving on. The change in net position for fiscal 20 after grant funding is a net loss of $0.9 million as compared to a net income last year of $0.5 million. Some notable items you'll find on the balance sheet. The administrative fee receivables are increased year over year by $1.9 million, which reflects the delay in the early fees of January to March, which were just recently billed in September. Due from CDC increased by $137,000, and $305 million on the balance sheet of the current restricted assets are the construction funds which we hold on behalf of institution. And finally, for CHIFA's total net position at year-end 2020 is $13.8 million. Any questions? I can go into specifics if you have any. Or I will turn it over to Kristen. Okay, Kristen Brown, Cohn Resnick, you have the floor.
Hi, this is Kristen. Melissa is going to start the presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Kristen. I am going to share my screen and let's see here, get this slideshow. So just confirm that you can see our presentation. Excellent.
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you. Very nice to meet you all. My name is Melissa Ferrucci, partner at Cohn Resnick. I've taken over, as Cynthia said, for Kim Nardone on the chief audit this year. And I would just like to first start by thanking the chief of management team and staff for all their hard work this year. We've done the audit 100% virtual, which is a first for all of us. And throughout the process, it went fairly well, considering how challenging it was. And I just wanted to send my gratitude to the team for all their hard work. Today, we're going to discuss the various reports that we issued. We'll provide you with the required communications as part of the audit, and we'll talk about future considerations and future GASBs on the horizon. Some notable items to be discussed. We issued an unmodified or clean opinion over the financial statements in accordance with generally accepted government auditing standards. We performed agreed upon procedures report for CSLF, as well as prepared the CSLF tax return. The tax return for CCDC is a 990N, which is a postcard version of the tax return, as there's limited activity there, but we will file for CDC, CCDC. We have reported no findings and no management recommendations this year. And regarding the required communications, a couple of things to note. We've had no major presentation changes year over year in the audited statements for CHIFA. The significant estimates that management has reported are the allowance for doubtful accounts over accounts receivable and the fair value of investments reporting, which you'll see disclosed in the footnotes. We've had no significant audit adjustments and one small uncorrected past adjusting statement, misstatement. There were no significant unusual transactions noted. We've had no disagreements with management or any major issues. We have not consulted in any way with any other accountants regarding this audit. No difficulties in performing the audit. We have not been made aware of any instances of fraud, and no matters have come to our attention in that regard during the audit. And finally, we will be receiving from management a signed rep letter making various representations regarding the information that was provided to us for the audit. So moving on, I know Joanne has talked a little bit in more detail on the numbers, but just to give you some additional information on CHIFA, we have a blended component unit, which is the CHIFA Community Development Corp, which was created in 2019. That's a blended component unit as part of the CHIFA's financial statements. Current assets as a whole are greater than current liabilities by $8.7 million. CHIFA reported restricted net position of $4.4 million, operating income of $1.9 million, non-operating expenses of $2.8 million, and an overall decrease in net position of $922,000. Operating activities resulted in $607,000 of cash flow. Non-capital financing activities resulted in $91 million on the cash flow statement. And if you have the financials in front of you, these are on the cash flow statement items. $86,000 was utilized to purchase capital assets and $93 million of cash to purchase investments, with an overall decrease in cash of about $2 million. And this year we have not management has not implemented any new GASB standards, as there were none that were required to be implemented this year. And now I'll turn it over to Kristen Brown, the director on the engagement, and she'll talk about CHESLA.
Thanks, Melissa. As she said, I'm Kristen Brown, director at CohnReznick. And I just wanted to remind the board, I know it was, I think it was previously discussed, but Melissa is taking over from Kim, who is a retired partner. So the change came due to a retirement, not because of a change in the partner itself. So for CHESLA, the operating loss was $1.4 million, with a net increase in net position of $451,000. There was an increase in the allowance and the loans, about $188,000. And what I want to point out is that we did look at the allowances on everything from CHIFA, CHESLA, and CSLF in light of COVID, and the fact that there would possibly be more risk for collection from your customers. There were an additional $500,000 in funds that were transferred from CSLF and scholarships. This is much smaller as planned from the prior years, where you were transferring additional funds as well as some funds for the refinance program. Overall, the increase in cash was $8.3 million, and your final restricted net position was $26 million out of your $33 million of net position. The other thing I also want to say before I jump into CSLF is, as part of auditing standards, we're also required to look at going concern for organizations. That's something that is normally done. However, we did take a more in-depth look at that this year in light of COVID again. The management, as well as
we concurred with management's response that there's no issue of a going concern with the organizations. And the other thing I want to point out with Chesla is in the past, we have our management has made an estimate of the current portion of the loans based on the cash receipts that have been done and received in the current year. And that was always due to the fact that First Mark couldn't provide any reports to really predict what the cash, the current portion of the loans was. We were working with UAS this year, and they did provide some reports, but nothing was really agreeing in total in regards to the activity for the current portion only. We were fine with all the other information, but I wanted to point out that management is working on with UAS to try and get better reports from that. So we use the same methodology for the estimate of the current portion, which seems reasonable based on the cash collections and is more consistent to the reporting that we got in the prior year. And one last thing I do want to point out, because I forgot to mention this, that operating loss of 1.4, most of that loss was generated, all of that loss was generated from the bonds and the trusts. The operations themselves had an increase of $229,000, and your other programs had an increase of $49,000. Moving on to CSLF, they had an operating income of $1.7 million, with that resulted in an increase in your net position. Again, we talked about the transfer to Chesla. Your cash increased by $283,000, and you had a net position of $23 million, and the restricted portion of that is $4 million. And the overall review of the loan portfolio, remembering that the receivables on that are consistently decreasing because of the no more issuances of loans, was a decrease of $60,000. And as Melissa mentioned, we also reviewed the compliance that we were required to do for CSLF, finding no issues. We have prepared the tax return that management has reviewed and we'll be talking about with CSLF. And the postcard for CCDC will be filed by management, as there's no activity really to report on that. Future considerations, this one's been hanging around for a long time and keeps getting postponed, and that is where you would be putting on your financial statements as an asset and a liability. Other than that, no changes. And finally, the last page is just our contact information for Melissa, myself, and Josh. Please feel free to call us throughout the year with any questions or issues that you have that you think that we might need to help you with. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Anybody have any questions for the team from Cohn-Resnick or management?
This is Lawrence. You know, you guys talked about taking into consideration allowances for doubtful accounts and essentially reserves relative to COVID-19. And I wonder if you can speak a little about that, because you know, one of the questions that came to mind is that as you had a lot of these accounts effectively deferred, you know, some of the questions that I started to think about is that, you know, are they, if they're already past due, you know, are they going further past due? How does that affect capital as well as reserves? And so if you can just talk a little more about how you looked at that, given, you know, that this is a look in terms of a specific timeline.
Well, in regards to, we'll start with CHIFA just because that's the first organization. The look was really was done on the types of organizations that the allowances were calculated on. So obviously all your organizations, because you had those deferrals and fees. And the allowance for that was actually increased based on an estimate looking at potential non-collections from some of your organizations. When it came to Chesla and CSLF, there really wasn't a lot of change in the methodology, because there really wasn't a lot of change in the balances. I mean, some of them are being put over to the deferral accounts, or they're not or the forbearance accounts, so they're not technically due at this time. So we did look at that. Again, the methodology still being pretty much the same, not a large increase with that.
And until a lot of the stuff plays out where you have more people coming in and asking for deferrals and forbearances, that is what's going to really drive the change in the last. Remember, this is only through June, so it's been only about 3 months, 3 months since the COVID hit.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for the team? No?
No, I'm good.
Cynthia, anything to add?
No, I think we're all set. If there are no further questions, we would head into the next agenda item.
Okay, so a question on the executive session. I think I missed. How will we do that?
So there's a room that's been set up for you all to go into, and Deb will facilitate the Cone staff as well as the committee members to enter that room now. So you'll essentially get an invitation to join the room. You'll join the room, and when you're done, you'll come back to this main session.
Okay, perfect. So I think
we'll need a motion. Do you need a motion, Mark, to go in?
Yeah. No, great. I was just going to say, I think it makes most sense to go into the executive session. We'll get a motion and a vote to do that, then come back, and then we'll take up the action item of taking financial statements to the board. So can I get a motion to move into executive session?
This is Peter. I'll move it.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you both. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We're good.
Okay. Should I read off the list of those that will be entering the room?
Yes, that would be great. Thank you, Deb.
Okay. Daryl Hill, Josh Labonte, Kristen Brown, Lawrence Davis, Mark Barholak, Melissa Ferrucci, Michael Angelini, and Peter Lisi. Am I missing anyone?
Okay. Sounds right to me.
Perfect. I'm opening the room now. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, they're all in there. They're all in there.
Wonderful. Thanks, Deb. Appreciate it.
No problem. Yes,
thank you. Krista Johnson.
Join the meeting.
Krista, this is Cynthia. We're still in the executive session for the Audit Finance Committee meeting.
Hi, Cynthia. I don't see her unless she called in. She's still in the waiting room, I believe. Oh, they're returning now from the meeting.
We're here.
We're back.
Okay. Is everybody back? Is Lauren there? Yep. Okay. So, thank you everybody for bearing with us. We had a very productive executive session, and I just would publicly say now that we're back in this meeting, thank you to Kristen and Melissa and Josh from Cone for all their great work and insights. And clearly this is a challenging year with COVID and doing things remotely. And so we thank you. With that, I think we would be seeking a motion to recommend the acceptance of the audit report from Cone Resnick be brought forward to the board for full approval and acceptance. Do I have a motion?
And this is Mike.
So I think Peter beat you to it. I'll give Peter the, and Michael, you'll second?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions, comments, discussion before we, no? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Fantastic. All right, thank you for another successful virtual meeting.
Namita Shah.
Join the meeting.
And this is Daryl. A quick question for Denise. Yep. A point of order question. We moved and approved going into executive session. Do we need to formally come out of executive session?
Yes, that should. I think the record can reflect that you returned to the regular meeting, Mark.
That suffices. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that works. Thank you, Daryl. Okay, so. At this point, I think we're ready to adjourn the Audit and Finance Committee meeting. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll move we adjourn.
Thank you, Peter. Second. Thank you, Michael. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you all, and I'll see you shortly in the next meeting.
Board meeting. Okay.